What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
We are so excited to have this guest on. We've been talking about having you on for a while. Ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by amazing comedian Jessica Michelle Singleton.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
You were referenced on our very first episode. Did you know that? I think you told me that.
Man. And since you've told me that, I'm like, I got to put that board back up. Because I took it down to try to make my room look less cluttered with a whiteboard. And then I was like, no, I need the post-its.
Dude, are we talking about what I...
Is that the goal board?
You're the reason I did all that. And it's like the most... It's the most satisfying thing. Can I be honest with you, though? I actually recently got rid of them. But I had them up for like almost 2 years.
Yeah, I got rid of mine because it's so cluttered. It is. And I thought that maybe that was making my, I don't know, I'm such a hippie, like, oh, my mental space.
Dude,
is just...
me too. Dude,
so I got a whiteboard and now I'm like, only 3 major projects. I'm trying to be type A, but I'm so not.
I'm the exact same. We talk a lot about feng shui on this podcast and there's something about it. Like, I love the meaning of writing your goals and like having an accomplishments place that you move the goal thing over if you do it.
Yeah.
But just like the way it looks, it just clashes a lot with like any other decor
I have to hide my goals because if I'm looking at them constantly, then I feel like a piece of shit if I'm not working on it in that moment. Yeah. So I got to put my shit in a book in my drawer and not take a look.
Yeah.
Or else it'll just keep my wheels spinning.
I think I have to have my main ones up in front of me because I just will never work on them.
Just a reminder.
I'm like, oh yeah, I had goals. I forgot.
I had all these dreams. Yeah.
I think I'll go crazy.
Yeah. Ours is in the bedroom and it was like, I felt like I could not peacefully sleep because they were just right there reminding me every day what I'd done and hadn't done. And
that's how mine was too, because it's like my desk is in my bedroom and it's the whole setup.
Yeah.
I say that as if I have other good bedroom decor. It's like, this is clashing with this sign with a dumb quote on it that I hand painted myself in a manic episode. But whatever.
Dude, yeah, 100% though.
But by comedian standards, like, it's so easy to have a nice bedroom because you can see so many people who just like live in squalor.
The bar is so low. You're like, where is the bed? Is it that pile of big gulps? Where do you sleep?
Yeah. Oh, what was so funny is I did Jessica's podcast. So I'm sure, I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast at all. Probably not. But Jessica and I dated the same person.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we got to talk about the fact that like we basically furnished his bedroom.
You know what's so funny?
I went and did his podcast and they were doing it. I know, what a hero I am.
But I was like doing it and I came in, they were recording in his bedroom for some reason. And I go in there and they made some joke about the curtains. And he's like, yeah, thanks for those. And I'm like, no, that wasn't me.
Oh my God.
Remember who I just got started you with
joking
shit
about like who has furnished what? And I'm like, every woman you've dated is also like a mom to you. You're just like a big idiot.
Oh my God. You two are like a Taylor Swift song. Like the fact that you've like both dated, it's just,
it's amazing. Dude, I'm telling you, it's like anybody listening to this, what an incredible example for women that you guys are. Seriously, because the norm in my life with my friends and including myself, you usually just end up hating that person for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
Right. Other than they dated the same person I did. Fuck you. And it's like, but you and you guys both ended up not being with that person, which probably means you have way more than in common than
I've
you even realize,
felt
right?
Like that, even if like someone stays with them, it's like, like we like at least have similar tastes in one way at some point in our life. Right. I would be like, ew, she's gross.
No, I was like, oh, we're both broken. Like.
It's so true. No, as soon as you started dating, I was like, no, she's settling too.
You know what's crazy?
I was too good for him. Then, hey, she's too good for him too.
What's crazy is you are a big part of the reason I think I dated him a third time.
Because maybe he's grown.
No, I was like, maybe it's my problem because Jessica seems really cool. And like, because I didn't know you very well, but I respected you as a comic.
Same.
And so for me, when you started dating, and you're older than me,
I'm so
and he
old.
Was my
no, you're
age.
Not, no.
I'm 15.
You're not. She's not old. You're like a few
but
years.
But I am older than you. Yeah.
So I was like, oh my gosh, she's dating somebody I respect and admire who is older than both of us. Maybe I'm fucked up.
Yeah. No.
And
I,
then it gave him a credit.
No, that's how
you.
I felt too. I was like, oh, who did you date? Well, okay. Well, usually when I find out who the person I'm dating's exes are, I'm like, oh, I'm settling.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, okay. Well. This seems good.
Yeah,
it's good. It's like seeing a lineup that you're like, should I do the show? And you're like, oh, like Beth Stelling's on this show. So like, yes, I should do this show. This is incredible. This is a good lineup.
Yeah, right. And then you get there and Beth's like, what are we doing here?
That happened to me last week. Literally, I did a CrossFit gym. I did a show at a CrossFit gym.
Oh,
and
man.
Yeah, no, that's the right reaction. I mean, it was run by very sweet people and there's actually like a fine crowd there. But like, I saw that Beth was on the lineup and I was like, you know what? This is fine. This will be fun. And then, of course, she canceled, and it was just me, telling jokes in a CrossFit gym.
Whose show was it?
Is it The Chive?
Was it Comedy Papa?
No. Oh, okay. It was not like done by an organization.
Oh, okay.
It's like a guy named
was just
Gary.
Like, the gym. Like, we should do comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
People
it was
CrossFitting
legit.
While you did it?
No, thank God. But
good one.
I'm not sure if they're listening. It was actually like a really fun show and it went, they put it together well. But just the fact that
curious.
It was a show in a CrossFit gym is a situation where you look at the lineup and you're like, I hope that there are enough other people on this that I respect that this
really
doesn't
comedians?
Feel like a new career level. You're like, wow, this is the city telling me to like.
Yeah, we're like, why didn't I say no? Yeah, you're like, I should say no to these things.
Yes, exactly.
Then you start beating yourself up, like I should value my time.
Yes, exactly.
Or is that just me?
No,
I'm like, what am I doing in this laundromat?
Exactly. Yeah.
Are we still talking about shows or that relationship? It's all just so
blurred lines.
Yeah, he never. Did
you guys
laundry.
Ever get mad at yourself for dating someone?
Yeah,
every anyway. Day of my life.
Every day.
I love it. I love the fact that this is happening. That's I'm
it's
glad
like trauma bonding.
It
is like trauma bonding.
Yeah, you went through it too.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
absolutely.
It's great because like it's usually like that person is like in the way. I don't know. It's like you end up hating the girl or something instead of the dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For some reason, we're just first to just judge the woman and not the freaking person who was a twat to both people. I mean, So I don't know. I've been that position.
It's
that
true.
Situation.
I often wonder how many like female friendships I missed out on by there being a dude that's like, well, I don't like her because on principle.
Yeah.
Right?
First thing you start dating somebody, you're like, well, I just have to hate all your exes because that's what you do.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I do.
I don't think either of us were ever like that. And it's like you and I, it's so crazy because it was the same situation.
Yeah.
Like you started dating him after, like a few weeks after he and I had broken up the second time. God, so many times I made that. and I was never like that bitch. Like I was just he probably just.
I also didn't realize. I already told you this later on, but like I didn't realize how recent you guys had broken up. I didn't know you were breaking up. Had even dated till like we started dating, and I was like, okay, well it seems like that must be like. Water under the bridge. I don't know. And then you did it, and I was like, I'm not mad at you, but now I'm realizing that what I did was so shitty. And I was like, I had a psycho meltdown that had less to do with either of you and more to do with just like abandonment issues and like old shit. And I was like, what's happening? I'm crumbling.
Right. But it was also, it was super fast. Like, I mean, it's just.
It happens. But like, isn't that so funny when you're out of it? You're like, yeah, whatever. And in the moment, you're like, it's just the way it happens. You're like, fucking idiot.
But yeah, no, I never, like, when that, when I was on the other end of it, and it was, there were different circumstances also. But, but yeah, when I, when you guys started dating right after we broke up, I was never like, oh, she sucks. I was just like, yeah, no, that's what should, I was just like, well, they're going to get married. Like,
that's so funny because I had the exact same thing. I was like, you know, it's like they must really be meant to be together. And I was just like, that was just a weird stepping stone that both of us went through because it was weird for me too. And like in retrospect, I'm like, what in the hell?
You guys are very secure people. Like I Facebook stalked the shit out of like every girl that any of my exes went to after. I don't know. You guys just seem so like, oh, I just wish them well and they must just be meant to. I was always like, fuck them. Like, I only get hit by a car. I just hated all of it.
Oh, but no, we unfollowed so each other.
Okay, so it was part
That's
of it.
Not.
But I just think, look, this is a great new normal that us ladies can strive for, is all I'm saying. Is like, you don't hear about this shit happening very much. And I very much appreciate it. That's all I'm saying.
I'm thankful for it, for sure.
I'm
like, I should have just dated you.
That's a thing. What a story would that be?
You two need to hook up now.
Let's just get matching tuxedos and forge a fake relationship.
And we should be clear. I mean, just in case, the person we both dated is not like some horrible person who abused us or anything.
It just wasn't
the right
not
thing.
Good fit.
Got you.
But but yeah, in any case, like, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Like, it's always weird when someone you know dates somebody you dated.
Be like, okay.
Yeah.
Well. All right.
Here we are.
All right.
I'm so happy for you.
I just am feeling a lot of things.
Gosh, I wish we had this was being video recorded because your facial expressions are so good, Jessica.
Hilarious. By the way, fucking beautiful. I love that pink bow. I want to just like, I want to like Barbie makeover, like snatch everything off of you and like duplicate in my wardrobe. Do you guys ever play that game growing up? Barbie makeover?
Oh, totally. All the time. I was not playing football with my stepdad instead.
Yes. The printable dresses.
Yes.
Like, we never had ink because my parents are cheap. So I'm like, how will I make their clothes? I really was like, one day I'll be a fashion designer. And now I dress like a weirdo. And it works out.
I love it. I like am obsessed with your fucking outfit.
Oh, thank you. Sweaters from Forever 21.
Fuck yes.
Outerwear is 50% off right now.
They're not a sponsor. We're just fans.
I still hit up Forever 21 so hard.
There's one around the corner from me, and I'll just be walking by, and I'm like, well,
they get you.
Sale.
They catch you. There's always a fucking sale.
Yeah.
Everything is for
sale. That's why I just stay away from all of the malls.
Mine's a freestanding one. Just on a corner. It's the very first Forever 21 ever.
Really?
Really?
I'm out of Highland Park.
Oh.
And it actually just says Fashion 21.
Oh.
But then you're like, wait a second. I know what's going on here.
I know you. Yeah.
I recognize these cheaply made dresses that I shouldn't be wearing anymore, and I'm going to buy all of them.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like Forever 21's perfect, especially for people in entertainment, because, like, you just, like, it's shitty, but, like, you have to have different outfits for, like, photo shit and
shows
and doing televised things and on stage because like Jack Knight told me once, he came up to me at a show and he goes, you're like a cartoon character, you're always wearing the same thing.
The
and I was like
jacket.
I know. God, I have a comfort area. But now I'm like,
wherever the fuck you want. I think that's all. Who gives a shit? Wear whatever you want. Even if you wear the same thing on TV twice, who fucking cares? What a loser. You got on TV twice, wore the same outfit.
It looks like you only own one outfit, though. I worry about that, like just in photos from live shows.
Yes.
Or it's like, everyone's going to think that's just my outfit that I wear on stage.
100%. Yes. I have so many. Just this. It's in the great thing. It's in my security blanket because we have a show later tonight. And I'm like, I will for sure be putting that on. Yes, we're all on a show together.
Not
and,
me.
Sugar retired. I'm done.
Delaney, you want to dust it off?
Shouldn't have done what you wanted to do for yourself.
Yeah.
How dare you be happy?
Yeah, no, I don't have many clothes, actually.
I actually, like,
it's like a real sad turn for a second.
No, I actually
I'll buy a mug. Sorry.
I looked at my closet and I'm like, no, but like that's what I've been trying to get down to. I'm a big creepy minimalist, Jessica.
No, I love it. I went through a phase of I am so all over the map. I go through like, I'm just going to only own black and white and then I don't have to think about what I'm going to wear. And then I'm like, glitter.
I feel like you dress up a lot.
I'm trying to now more. I'm not trying to. I'm just like trying to be... I got in my head about not dressing up too much when I started comedy.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, people say stuff to you. Especially as a woman. They're like, oh, if you're too hot. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm at risk of someone being like, who's that model?
Yeah. But nobody has ever said that to
me. Yeah, that's like never been. No one's going to be like, she's too hot. Yeah. You know? Like, yeah, I
can't handle it.
So I got in my head and was like, really, I think, downplayed my love for wearing kind of eccentric things because I was all over the place in like high school and college, and then lately I'm just like, oh fuck it, I'm just gonna wear whatever I want.
Please
Super, that's so fun. I mean, Kelsey's like that too, where Kelsey's like just really good at makeup and clothes. Thanks, and babe. Stuff for me, yeah, it's
just
like I'm like
really great at being a woman.
Yeah, honestly. Yes, truthfully, yes. I do a joke about how Kelsey makes me feel like not so much a woman but just like a corn dog, which is a real thing I said to her high in Vegas. Yeah.
That's that amazing.
Because I'm just like, and I use your name on stage.
Oh, I know.
I go, where are we going, Kelsey? Is there mustard there?
And I know. I've been on shows with you, and I like, I love it. I'm like, I feel like a little soccer mom. The honest, I'm like, oh, she said my name.
That's me. Put together one high.
Yeah. And for me, if I like leave my hair down, I'm just like, people think I'm trying. Yeah. This is humiliating.
No, there's so a thing stupid. Where if I put on a full face of makeup. Still, and I do it like semi-regularly, not every day, but I still get so many people, like comics especially, going, "What?" Like they didn't know I was capable of looking okay. Like, this is different. Like, yeah, I put on mascara. Like, relax. Like, yeah. Hey, you look like you bathed. Yeah. Like, okay, well.
It takes so little. Like I went to therapy yesterday in like all makeup.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I saw your Instagram story.
Oh God. And the first thing she said to me was like, oh, you look very nice. And I was like, please don't talk about it. Like I was just aware of having lipstick on the whole time. Like, cause I just don't, it's not even an external thing. It's like how I feel about myself. Like I'm just worried other people are going to think I'm trying to be pretty, and then they'll go like, I guess it didn't work. Like, which is just your own thing.
Oh, that's horrible. Oh, yeah. That's crazy. And so you are stupid. So pretty.
Thank you. Yeah. That's what I was going for.
I literally thought of that because I saw your Instagram story about it, about you being like, oh, I hope she doesn't think I dressed up. And I was getting ready for therapy this morning, and I grabbed something out of the closet, and I was like, getting ready for therapy. I was literally putting clothes on, and I was like, ah, I don't need to wear this. It's too nice. It's just therapy. And then I thought of yours, and I'm like, what does that say about me? Right. But my therapist is around the corner from me. I've literally gone there in pajamas with an actual like ceramic coffee cup full of coffee, like full crazy. I'm like, all right, where do we start?
This is a real aggressive breath.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
And I'm just like, you know, I feel like everything's okay. And she's like, it's not.
Then on the other side, I want to do a bit about this, about how like I'm worried because like I don't want to look too nice for therapy, but then I also don't want to look too shitty because then I'm afraid she'll like call 911. Like, now you are at risk.
She's just going to like tape me up and hold me until like a wagon comes and throws me in. Oh, yeah. For sure.
That's why I do my therapy on the phone. Nobody gives a shit what I'm wearing. I'm in my underwear in my little chair in a corner of my bedroom, and she just
on the toilet.
Know, just like, how are things going?
On the toilet?
She doesn't know.
Multitasking, Sue. Yeah. You get it. You're busy. I'm busy.
So funny. Sue. You're flushing the toilet. You just don't give a shit. You're like, anyway, and you're brushing your teeth. Yeah.
She'll never truly know how bad I'm like, oh, I am, God. You know?
Yeah.
Because she won't be able to see me. But yeah, it's good.
What if you found out your therapist was doing the exact same thing?
Yeah, probably.
She was there in her underwear. You'd be like, oh, what a slob.
Yeah.
Be professional.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Do your guys' therapists look nice? Because mine always looks nice.
Mine always looks nice.
My therapist looks cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, she's got an undercut. Oh, like, she's undercut? Got, like, dyed blonde hair.
Oh, and it's
just, like,
where this part's, like, buzz.
Oh, cool. Shit.
And she always is, like, dressed cool, and which is kind of intimidating.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I think things are going okay, you know? Like, yeah, I'm just, you know, like, jamming. I'm just trying
to be her friend.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, accept me.
Yeah. That's the hardest part. Totally is bad. Like, my therapist told me at the beginning, she's like, just so you know, she's like, obviously I have other patients that are in, or clients, who have, whatever the word she used.
Like, no!
We're just like, slam the door. She's like, I have other people that are in entertainment. She's like, I'll never like Google you or anything. And part of me was like, could you, so you know, it's going all right.
Like, I'm worth.
Yeah, I'm just like, could I send you my Tonight Show link?
Mine is like watched all my videos.
Really? Now that's making me concerned, because my therapist was like, I was telling her about my one woman show, and she's like, when are you doing it here? I would love to come. And I'm like, oh, you want to see a show about me unraveling? No, absolutely. I mean, it's probably good for therapy. Yeah. But.
Also, by the way, a show you wrote. That you went on a 10-day silent meditation retreat. Yeah. You were silent for 10 days.
Yeah, this time last year.
Yeah, whoa. This time.
I need to hear all about
it. I want to hear about this.
Yeah.
Should we get into this shit? Should we kick it off with a quote and then immediately get into that meditation
thing? Oh, it's perfect, too. Is it me?
It's you.
Yeah, I have a quote, you guys.
There we go.
Thousands of candles can be lit from a single candle, and the life of the single candle will not be shortened. Happiness never decreases by being shared. I want to say that this quote, how it's written, says lighted from a single candle, and I don't know if that's right. Is it lit, right?
It's lit. It's lit. Get lighted. Lit is not. You know?
So now I trust the quote less. But I hope this candle is burned out.
That quote has a
nice
typo.
Sentiment, though.
Yeah.
It's from a website that says fakebuddhaquotes.com, so very reliable. I thought it was a Buddha quote, and now I'm not sure.
I think it's
either way. I understand the sentiment. Very, very nice.
Yeah. Just share your happiness. It's not going to drain you.
I know. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh my gosh.
That's amazing. I do love it.
Okay, so please talk about your 10-day retreat.
I went through a breakup with that same guy.
Weird.
Can we just say, like, how amazing it is that you got a whole Edinburgh show out of that breakup. I went through that breakup 3 times. All I got was 2 closers and an opener.
Yeah.
Like that.
And one less set of curtains.
And one less set of curtains. Like a whole hour. And you went on this 10-day thing. I remember it was so hard to just like watch somebody handle it so much better than I ever have handled a breakup.
Handled it well, or if I just channeled whatever happened into like a piece of art. And the whole show isn't necessarily about the breakup, but it came from the meditation. I like went full Eat, Pray, Love after this breakup, and I had to figure out why, because I was like, I wasn't that upset about the breakup specifically, but I was just spiraling because I have like trauma and shit from my childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, like, I booked a trip to Hawaii. I signed up for guitar lessons. Like, I was crazy. I canceled guitar lessons like after one. I was like, it's too much. But I'll still go in the desert for 10 days and be silent. So there was this 10-day silent meditation course. It's a Vipassana. Anyone can do it. Dhamma.org, Dhamma. If you're interested in that,
okay.
It's donation based, and they won't accept money unless you make it through the first 10 days.
Yeah. Whoa.
So it's for any, you don't have to be like rich and like, wow.
Where it has to be like a Tony Robbins retreat, whatever.
Which they're all over the world.
Oh,
I did was in Joshua Tree. You have to sign up a few months in advance. So if you check out the website, you can they'll tell you when ones are opening and you can go sign up. And then I had signed up before, like full disclosure, before I even dated that fucking dude.
Oh, you did?
I'd signed up for other ones and bailed because I don't know.
Huh.
In fact, the year before when I just jumped into a relationship with him, I was supposed to go to one. And he's like, you should come meet my family for Christmas. And I was like, I'm in a complete state of mania. Why not? So I was like, I'm going to do it. I signed up for one. And I was like, this is so corny. But it was incredible. I mean, this won't come as anyone with ear surprise to like either any of you, like anyone with ears who can hear me now. But like, I've never shut the fuck up. So all my friends were making the same joke. Like, you can't even be silent for 10 seconds.
Right.
But it was really cool. They teach you this technique of meditation called Vipassana, which is all about impermanence and just like accepting that you exist, and it's letting feelings arise and pass away. So it's just like the underlying concept is like everything goes away.
Yeah.
Pain, pleasure. So it's a technique meant to teach you to not like crave the good things, but not be averse to the bad things. Just let them happen and they'll pass. But I don't know. After like a few days, you start losing your mind.
Yeah. This sounds terrifying.
Yeah. No, I mean, it started with like 150 girls, and then like by the end there were 60 of us.
Whoa.
And by like day 7, and it shows in the show, because the show I did for Edinburgh is immersive theater. It's so different from, it's not a new hour for my stand-up. It's like very weird. And the whole show is like everyone's going on a 10-day silent meditation together. It's an hour, but like,
yeah.
So there's me doing like silent physical comedy, trying to like stay calm and meditate. And then there's a screen showing everything going on in my brain. So you start cycling through, like all of a sudden shit pops up about like your childhood, or you just have like these weird, like whatever. And you're just trying to like stay comfortable. You're like, am I even fucking meditating, or am I just thinking about meditating? And you're just,
oh my God. Wow. I have like a knot in my stomach just picturing doing this, by the way. Like, this is very anxiety inducing to think about being silent for 10 days.
Whoa. Yeah.
What's crazy is that like I did it and I was like, well, that was an experience. I'll never do that again. But then about a week ago, I realized it was like a year, like almost a year out. And I was like, I kind of like, I don't do anything for Christmas. And it's not like a boohoo. Just like, I just am not close with my family. I'm always just, I'll do like a friend dinner or whatever. But I was like, oh man, it'd be nice to kind of just be going out in the desert again. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
I haven't shut up. I haven't meditated for more than like 15 minutes on occasion since then.
Yeah. Wow. Can you tell me like, what's the day to day at that place?
The day to day is like, someone walks around with a bell at 4 a.m.
And you're sleeping in tents?
There's a retreat center. So it's like very minimalist. You bring your own sheets and pillow. You're sharing a room that has three small beds with other girls. And it's like got an attached bathroom that shares with another group of girls. And you can't talk to anyone. So you just have to like, shit, someone's in the bathroom. Which is like, I was like, someone's going to end up stabbing somebody.
Yeah. But like, oh my God.
And it's so funny because one of the roommates I had, we ended up connecting afterwards. We just had a moment because you're not even supposed to make eye contact, but we had one moment where we're
like, what?
You're not supposed to make eye contact?
Yeah. No, you're supposed to like, I mean, obviously you're going to make eye contact, but you're not even supposed to, no facial expressions, nothing. Like you're alone.
What? But,
I mean, you're just,
this is like, this is horrifying.
This is my nightmare. Concept.
This is so interesting.
It was just so crazy. So there was like a temple, and I don't know if it used to be a church or just where they go do like retreats there. I think there's other types of stuff there. People probably have weddings. But at 4 a.m., someone would come around, ring a bell, and you would wake up in the dark. And this was, Joshua Trees are pretty cold at this time of year. And you'd walk to the temple, and you'd meditate for 2 hours.
What? 2 hours?
Yes, 2 hours.
Wow.
What does that look like? Are you people just sitting, eyes closed? You just breathing? What are you doing?
It's a lot of people sitting. Yeah, okay. It's mostly just sitting.
Okay.
And here's the thing is, after the first day, they let us know that, because there are like teachers there, and they take those brief moments where they will give at the end of the day. There's a video, excuse me, of like from this guy who like resurfaced this whole process. And so he's teaching you things, talking about the process and whatever. And they did say for some of the meditation chunks, you were allowed to just stay in your room and meditate. And when they were like 4 a.m. to 6 a.m., you don't have to come. You can stay in your room. And I was like, oh, you mean sleep till 6 a.m.?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
So I tried to be like good, but there were a couple of days where I just was like, okay.
Yeah.
But it's just people sitting up on pillows. You can bring your own meditation pillow. They provide pads there, and then there's like chairs for older people. I ended up having to get a chair because I have rheumatoid arthritis, and so I was like in so much pain, but I didn't want to ask because it's just like an ongoing thing, which is why it took me so long to get diagnosed with it, because I was like, I'm just being a pussy. And I was like, I have this thing. And they're like, yeah, no, that's like a really serious disease, like you can have a chair. And but yeah, it's like you're just sitting there trying to be still, and they end up teaching this technique. It starts with like just noticing your breathing, and they tell you to focus on your nose. And by day three, they're like, now that you've learned the foundation, we're going to start the actual meditation. And I was like, are you out of your fucking mind?
Wow.
But you're more or less just sort of taking notice of each part of your body, almost like in a scanning way in your mind, and just noticing if there's any feelings there.
Yeah.
And not react, trying to not react to them. So like if you have an itch on your face, you just don't react. You're hot, you're cold, you just like let it happen.
Oh.
And it sort of creates this almost like, I don't know, this awareness that things pass. Like even when you have an itch and you're like, it like eventually goes away. And so I don't know. It helped me a lot. Like in the moment, it was insane. And then by day 4 or 5, I was like, this is a show. Like I didn't go there. Like I'm going to research, but I was like, oh, cause I wanted to do Edinburgh, but I didn't want to do regular standup. I wanted to do something weird and like as a creative challenge.
Yeah.
And then it has helped me a lot with my emotional regulation. Cause I still have days where I get like overwhelmed by whatever I'm feeling, but I had a real big problem with dysregulation where like whatever I was feeling would just like consume me, and I would just be drowning in like sadness or like crazy out of control with whatever emotion, even if it was a good one. So it's helped me when things get like intense emotions, because I sometimes get triggered by things like anxiety, and I don't even know what they are yet, because like I have all this like deep buried stuff where I'll just be like, I'm just one time I bit into a green bean and I was like, I'm melting down. I was like, I want to cry and I don't know why.
this is. I don't want to find out why.
It's actually crazy, but it's just like because my brain has all these like weird trauma triggers. It helped me get better at going like, all right, this is fine. I'm just feeling anxiety and like. Mm.
Wow.
It's gonna go away. This isn't permanent. Because like before, it was just like, I guess this is how I feel for the rest of my life. I want to die.
So you're still meditating, Jessica?
Not enough.
Okay. But you've kind of kept it around.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just recently started getting back into like daily, just at least 10, 15 minutes. Because I noticed if I'm meditating regularly, I have way more control in those moments. Mm-hmm. Versus if I do gaps of not meditating, I'm like, I just get emotionally erratic.
So 10 to 15 minutes a day, that's a good chunk of time. Yeah. I can't really make it past 2 or 3 right now, but I'm trying to get to that point.
Well, I would say that like maybe 5 minutes of that is spent in actual meditation and the rest is like I'm thinking about other things and I'm like, huh, not meditating, but that's okay. That's sort of like, it's like any other muscle, which I think people who don't do it don't realize. It's like you're not going to wake up having never worked out and do 100 push-ups, but like you do like 5 today and then you try to do 6 tomorrow, you know?
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it. The meditation retreat that you went on, it sounds like the way I feel about it is the way I feel when people talk about like, yeah, I got cast in this Marvel superhero movie, so all I ate was grilled chicken and broccoli for 8 months. And I'm like, yeah, that would probably help and be great.
Yeah.
But at what cost?
But it's like, but it's grilled chicken and broccoli for 8 months. Yeah,
that's so hard.
So 4 to 6 a.m. you meditate.
Oh, yeah. And then there's a break for breakfast, and they just, it's a vegetarian. They provide food.
Okay.
So it's just pretty simple stuff, but I was surprised at how much I wasn't, because I'm a picky eater, and I wasn't like, I'm going to starve. So it's just like, whatever, there's oatmeal, there's fruit. They always have like veggies and different lentils for lunch. Huh. And so then at about like 8:30, you go back and it's a group meditation and there will be something playing and it's just sort of, it's a like a voice recording of the same guy who you see at the end of the day. Hmm. Just sort of guiding you through it. Yeah. It's not constant, but he'll just like pop in every once in a while to give you that like, you know, remember that like if you drift off, you start thinking about something, just come back to your breath. And it's just sort of telling you to like breathe in and out of your nose. And
yeah.
And I think that goes on for about, I want to say 2 hours. And then they give you an hour break where you can just go back to your room. You can walk around. They tell you not to exercise. They're like, you're not supposed to do like anything else but be with your thoughts.
Whoa. No, no reading, no nothing like that.
No, you weren't supposed to.
It's like The Handmaid's Tale. My God.
I like this.
Yeah, no, you're not supposed to write anything down. You're just supposed to be present. Yeah.
Whoa.
Which I did have a napkin and a pen and I was by day 4, like
writing
jotting
bits.
Down things because I was like, this is a show.
Yeah.
And
oh
I'm like,
my God.
So I don't know if that really inhibited my process a little, but I was like, I'm going to forget everything.
Yeah.
But I think being creative is like such a good, positive thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think so too. Yeah. So it's like, it worked out, but then
and for 10 days,
wow. 10 days. And when they, on the last day, when they're like, Noble Science has ended, you can speak now. It was so funny. Cause you sat in the same place every day at lunch in the cafeteria. Like from day one, when they like did an intro thing, like this is going to be your spot. These are your dishes. You wash your own dishes. And like, it's just very like, I don't know. It's like a monastery.
Yeah.
But as soon as like you guys can talk now, the room erupts. It was just so funny because like women are so just want to connect with each other immediately. It was like, oh my God, hi! You've been sitting with these people for like 10 days,
wow.
Having to pretend that you know you're just not pretend, but like having to not engage with them. And you're like, who are you? Nice to meet you.
Was it all women?
It was all there is a men do it at the same time, but they separate you.
Okay,
that's so interesting, dude. So after your lunch break, is it back to meditation? Like after you have that hour break, right? Or lunch.
Yeah. An hour break and lunch. And then you go back to do, I think it might be that you can go to the big hall or you can do in your room meditation. And then they have, an afternoon break, which if you're an old student, like you've done this before, you can only have tea. And then anyone else can have tea or fruit and that's it. So there's just breakfast, lunch, and then fruit and tea.
Whoa.
Is there, there's no dinner?
No,
I'm out.
Yeah,
no,
that would be tough. If I wasn't already out. Were you hungry at all, or were you fine?
I was fine, but also I experienced something, and I don't know if it was like, it's still like been an ongoing struggle, and I don't know if it's something shifted in me emotionally, aging, or I'm on a prescription. Well, I haven't been taking it, but I'm prescription medication for my autoimmune disease that like my immune system. Not my immune system. My appetite like decreased like crazy. Like I dropped a bunch of weight really quick for like a month last year. And I was like, I don't know, man. I'm just not hungry. Mm. And it was one of those things, like, as a woman, you're like, I should look into this, but also I'm getting so thin.
Also, I look fabulous.
Yeah. Look at these cheekbones.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So I was fine because I was worried about that. But, yeah. Oh, no. Wow,
that holy shit. So what's, like, the biggest thing you took from that? I'm, like, super intrigued. Cause I'm like, well, I wouldn't mind trying that
out. Not eating dinner, I don't think.
Yeah, no, you would. The food thing, but I wouldn't mind, like, getting more into meditation.
I mean, I just think the biggest thing I took away was sort of the overarching lesson, which was impermanence. This too shall pass is a phrase I'd always heard, and I never knew what it meant. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever that dumb knitted sign knit. Yeah. Crossed it, whatever.
Right.
But I was like, oh yeah, just knowing that everything's gonna pass is really comforting. There's parts of it where you go like, oh, that's actually kind of sad.
Yeah.
If you think about it too much, because I'm like, and I go into it like in a mental spiral in the show, but I was doing it at the meditation. I was like, the girl in my room is engaged. And I was just like, there's women who are married here. Are they like, what does that mean? Is it gonna pass?
Yeah.
And then, but that doesn't mean like, it also happens in relationships where your feelings change, you know, and you go like, I guess I mean, I don't know about you guys, but there are times in relationships where I'd be like, I guess I just don't love this person anymore. And it's like, okay, well, relax.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I guess it's different for everything, but sometimes, a relationship passes. Sometimes, like, the relationship you have with that person, changes. Like you said, changes. I've been with my guy for almost 7 years, and I definitely feel like we've had at least 20 different relationships with each other in 7 years.
I think that's beautiful, too, because like, sometimes, like, and that's the thing with relationships in general, is that, like, sometimes you both grow in a way where, like, you're different people, but it still works.
Yeah.
And then, like, sometimes it just doesn't. And I feel like I wish we were more socially conditioned to be like, yeah, no, relationships aren't necessarily supposed to last forever.
Yeah.
Then they would feel less like a failure when they ended. But we go like, why couldn't I make it work with that sack of potatoes I dated? Like, I'm a loser. And you're like, no, it just didn't.
But then I think there's also something really beautiful about, and what I think Kelsey, you and Kane are so great about, is just like, no, like, whatever happens, as long as we're both willing to work on it, like, it doesn't matter how we grow. Like, we're supposed to be together. Like,
That's huge.
I mean, unless, like, the ways we change make it so that we truly, like, would not be happy together. And in that case, like, you don't want to be that old bitter couple that fucking wishes death upon.
Well, it's like, you don't want to be with someone who's not happy, and you're not happy if they're not happy. So,
Yeah. But, like, things like, you know, doing things to better yourself that would help their relationship or whatever. So before we get into, because we want to talk to you about the book Attached, and is it attachment theory? Is that what it's technically called?
That's what the book's called Attached, but it's about attachment theory. This is the new science of adult attachment and how it can help you find and keep love. So there's just different attachment styles, and the whole science around them is attachment theory.
Who wrote
it? It's written by Amir Levine, MD, and Rachel S.F. Heller, MA.
Awesome.
Masters of Arts?
Sure. I dropped out of college.
Medical arts?
Medical arts.
Medical arts. At Hogwarts.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so let's get into this because Jessica, you and I talked about this on your podcast.
Yes.
By the way, Jessica has a great podcast called Ignorance is Blessed, which I did, and you should listen to it.
You should listen to it.
And all the other episodes. And it's great. And we talked about this book that you read that talks about all the attachment styles, which an attachment style is just like basically how you operate within a relationship.
Yeah, interact in a relationship. It can also like bleed over to friendships and like other close relationships. But I mean, obviously we're focusing on mostly based on
romantic
relationships. Yeah, and there's so many. I'm like obsessed with the whole theory.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When did you read this?
I read this initially... oh God, a few months ago, maybe over this, like into summer.
Mm-hmm.
Cause somebody had mentioned it to me because I'm constantly talking about issues.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're like, have you thought about reading this? But it was like mind blowing because I'd heard a little bit about, I think, attachment theory when I took a psychology class in college, and I'd heard about the experiment. They did an experiment with babies where they see like, oh, do they cry when the mom leaves the room, or like, do they go after the mom? And I didn't realize till like reading this, I was like, oh, that's all about attachment theory because I slept through half of my psychology class. yeah, but it's they still think a lot of it's based in how you were parented, but basically there's technically four categories we all fall into, in how we interact in relationships. And like the main one, that most people are in, I'd say like 50% of people, they say that somewhere in the book. I'm not, is secure attachment. And secure attachment are just the people who have like healthy, like secure relationships. They don't have, I don't know, as many issues as the people who have, I don't want to call it issues. Insecure attachment has two categories. There's anxious and avoidant.
Mm.
And there are people who act very like nervous in relationships. It's the like clingy, where are you going? Like, I always worry that like someone's going to cheat on you or something's going to go wrong. Or and the avoidant is a lot of the people who like don't let people too close.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cheat sheet in here. It has better examples that I tried to like mark. But
so there's just three, like you said, categories?
There's also a fourth, which this book doesn't go too deeply into, which I had to start reading because I was like, I'm 100% this fourth. There's a style called disorganized attachment. Like, these are all considered organized because even if you have an insecure attachment style, like if you're anxiously attached, you still have like
patterns and
you like do the same thing.
Yeah.
Wanting like a crazy amount of closeness. I don't know if crazy is like a dismissive word. I shouldn't say that, but like expressing a lot of insecurities, fears of rejection.
Right.
You're unhappy when you're not in a relationship, like that kind of like, just feeling like you really need to have someone there to feel secure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And what is, you said yours is disorganized.
Disorganized is when you, sort of swing between the two insecure attachments. So it's like sometimes I'm very like wanting to be very close, and then I also will randomly have like avoidant, like I shut down, I don't want to talk about like this, I need a lot of independence, I don't, you know, it's just like end up sending a lot of mixed signals. And a lot of that comes from the way you're parented. So like, if like a lot of people were securely attached, it was like if they were a baby, when they were a baby, if they cried, their parents came, they fed them. And then like with like anxious or avoidant, they didn't necessarily get the
nurture,
the proper nurture they needed. Or like with anxious, sometimes it was like their parents were like over, like their parents were a fearful person, so they like overparented and they're like, oh God, don't do this, don't do that.
Yeah.
Versus like avoidant, maybe they weren't, they just like wouldn't pay attention to their kids a lot of, like, I wonder about that when people talk about, we just let them cry it out. I like when I hear that now, I'm like, well, that's going to come back to bite them in the ass, but at least you feel good about it.
Right.
Yeah. And then for me, it makes sense, why I have a disorganized attachment, because I had a mother with like mental illness and she was very like, just never knew you were getting it. She's got borderline, so it's very like walking on eggshells is literally the name of a book about
growing up with
about it.
Talked a whole bunch about that book. Yep.
Yeah. But it's like, you don't know what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
And so as a result, like as in my adult life, I'm very emotionally erratic in relationships where it's like, I hate you, don't go. Like, just...
I hate you, don't leave me.
Yeah.
How did you discern from your mom having it and then you seeing these similar patterns in yourself to be like, do I have borderline? Do I not have borderline?
I went through a period of time where, like, when I was... I don't know, it was, like, 2012, where I was in a very dark place and going to a therapist and, like, talking to her about it, where I started being like, oh, no, like, do I have this? and I think, basically, I've never been diagnosed with it. I definitely have mood swings, but I think what it comes down to is, I have like my ability to see it keeps it from being so like keeps my reactions from being so big that it's affecting my life. So, I don't think, no one's diagnosed me with borderline. I don't think I am. I definitely can catch myself in patterns of like, I'm also never like dismissive. I think most of the, I like my ability to internalize it, which has been detrimental to me, keeps it from being like, even if maybe there is stuff there in my brain that's like firing off wrong, or I'm responding inappropriately emotionally, which I have done like in the past, and it's gotten immensely better in the last few years since I've actually started working on it. It's not, I don't think it's ever affected like my work relationships. I don't think, any like close friends I have would ever be like, I've never had any like switches of being mean. What happens is I'm either like, I go from being like happy and secure and this is fun to like just closing in on myself, where I'm just like, I go like, I have moments where I like go cold, but it's just like, where I maybe at a point in my early 20s, I would have been like, I don't know. Like, I just go like, now I just go like, okay, like something's going on. I need to work on myself. But that was a huge fear of mine, because a lot of women with borderline come from women with borderline.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a terrifying thing to have like, you know, one moment of being like a little bit emotionally overactive and then going like, oh no, is this the thing that I have? Is it because it's just the worst. It's just so hard. And then dealing with people with borderline,
it's interesting how like your awareness of it is the thing that kind of keeps it at bay.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, like, and it's like, I don't know if it would be worse or better. Like maybe if it is tucked in there somewhere. I realize that like being aware of like staying on top of self-help and being aware of like, this is what having a mother like that will do to affect you, and going like, okay, what can I do to work on this versus just going, this is just how I am.
Right.
This
is happening to me. And
I guess I'm lucky that I have the like cognitive facilities to like know to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now I don't worry about it, but there's definitely a chunk of like my early 20s where I was like, oh man, I'm real erratic, and I still have like emotional spikes, but it's nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing like super high, super low. It's just like, bumps. Yeah. But I do worry about it, cause it's scary. And like, then you have to go, anytime there's an issue in a relationship, you go like, I'm so analytical anyways that I'll go like, well, maybe it was me, or like, am I too needy, or.
Right.
Huh. Yeah.
And then, oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
You talked about like how your dad like left you in an interesting way, right? Yeah, that is me.
I mean, it could be someone else.
You talked about it on stage and stuff.
I talked about it on stage. I talked about it on my album. I was abandoned by my dad in a Waffle House.
Good Lord.
At the time, I was just having this conversation with someone that like later I realized he was on meth. So I'm like, I don't even know if he meant to abandon me, if he was just meth, which doesn't make it any better. But I'm like, he was probably just like, I need to get something. Drove away.
I mean, it helps a little. Weirdly enough. Right. Like,
it's like, yeah, it was the drugs. And then
they weren't sober when they,
right? I keep wanting to do a bit about like, well, I've never done meth, but I have hung out with an 8-year-old girl and like, I get it. Yeah. But I feel like it's too dark.
Yeah. Oh no, you should do it. We did a Patreon before this and I was like, is this too dark? Like, you know. Just like,
I love it.
Yeah, there's like, so much.
How dark can you go?
That's like Taylor's segment on the podcast. Is she just at some point is like, is this too dark? And then it's like a hilarious, like we love deeply morbid joke. Just
The darker the better. So something like that event, how does that affect attachment theory?
Well, I mean, it plays into it because, I mean, abandonment is also just a huge trigger for so many issues. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, oh, this person who's like my primary caregiver just disappeared.
Yeah.
And the worst was that because, not the worst, but up until that point, like my dad, I don't know how quickly he got into drugs and just like flipped, but like up until that point, he was a good dad.
Eight. Okay.
And having a mother with borderline personality disorder, and anyone who has one or has experience with that knows that this is a common thing, that a lot of times they will either love the shit out of their kid, or like they can't stand them. And the case for my household was that like my mom adored my brother. I have a brother who's like a year and a half older than me. He could do no wrong.
Yeah.
And she just never liked me.
Yeah. Oh man.
So, like fiance. His dad has borderline, and it was the same thing where that's like a very common, like they basically pick like angel and devil with the kids.
They love you or they hate you. It's very black and white.
My fiance was also the one who just like couldn't do anything right.
Yeah. And it was like so frustrating because like my brother, he has a learning disability. So he was just like, you know, slow, dyslexic, whatever. And I think a lot of how my mom knows how to try to love someone is to help them. And then I was just a very smart, independent kid. So on top of her already just sort of having this animosity that just immediately started the minute I was born, she had no... She just didn't know what to do with me either.
Wow.
It's hard because it's... With mental illness, it's like easy to be sympathetic when you're not a victim of someone's mental illness.
Yeah.
But then when it's like, yeah, no, like they are hurting, but it is still like hurtful and manipulative. So what's the answer?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's like the compassion boundary of like, exactly. Okay, I know that this isn't like their fault. However, this is still fucking up my life.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So both of those things definitely played into, how my attachment style works. And I was just listening to a podcast on the way over because I finally found one that talks specifically about disorganized. And I was reading some stuff, and a lot of like what they say for working on that is like a first step is finding a therapist you feel really secure with, because that teaches you how to like feel a secure, worthy, like stable attachment. But it is weird because I'll do things like, I've realized the more I've been like working on this and learning about it, I have a couple of relationships that ended that I ended where, genuinely in my mind, I thought I had this like sixth sense, which I do think I'm good at like sensing people's emotions. I think a lot of comedians are.
Yeah.
But I like literally thought there was something there, like that they really weren't that into me and like they weren't that into it. And then looking back, I'm like, my God, there was nothing there. I just was like insecure and was like, they're going to leave. And like my brain goes, like would go into fight or flight and is like, I have to leave you. Like my emotions shut down and go cold.
Wow.
Like, did you guys ever see Inside Out?
Yeah.
That was the first time I ever saw like like a visual understanding of what I think my brain does, where it just like everything starts turning to sadness.
Yes.
Which is like, bah, bah, but
no, it's, yeah. No, I'm exactly the same way in relationship. When we did the borderline episodes, I like had a kind of a meltdown where I was like, I have borderline. Like I'm this person.
This is what I am.
Yeah. And what you're talking about, the awareness is like, I felt like that too, where I've, you know, looked at maybe certain people in my family and I go, well, maybe that's where I get it or whatever. And like the difference is I know that I have these tendencies.
And they're not as extreme. That's the thing is like with borderline, it's a lot of extremes. It's like, exactly. Sometimes you do not like someone and that's okay.
Yeah. And like I took the quiz. We all took the quiz for this juicy book. Yeah. Go to attachedthebook.com. And I got anxious and I will shut down like that, but it's not, it's usually triggered by like, it's triggered by the anxiety. It's triggered by me convincing myself. I like just decide how the person I'm with feels. I just like decide.
Yes.
Like, well, you're not like what you're talking about. Where I'm like, okay, well, you don't love me. You're not into it.
Yes.
You don't feel as strongly as I do. Or if somebody like lies to me, like they're going to lie to me forever.
For the rest of it. But it's also like, don't lie. That's fucked.
I mean, yeah, don't lie. Right. But also it's like, there's no like, forgiveness either.
Yeah, I don't know how to get out of that, like, like once I fall into the hole of like, oh, I feel like you don't love me. And that's been like, I just ended a thing with a guy because we were like seeing each other, it was not official, and I was like, look, I didn't want it to come out like an ultimatum, but I was like, there was one little thing that like triggered this anxiety, and now I was able to like in my own mind go like, this happened and that's why I'm feeling the anxiety, but I couldn't shake it. And I was like, look, are we moving forward on this because I'm no longer able to be in the gray area without having the anxiety, and that's outweighing the positive? So like, do you want to, but then I think I've jumped into relationships thinking like that will cure the anxiety before. And then I'm like, sometimes I'd be like, well, it's still there.
Yeah. Well, and the most frustrating part, I mean, for me is especially like, I mean, I got into my current relationship pretty quickly after the last one, which is the one Jessica and I both dated, ended for the last time. And it's a very different relationship. And I mean, as far as like giving our ex credit, like I was the worst version of myself in that relationship. Like every time, just the worst version of myself, like, so just not good. And, I think I just needed to be with somebody who was very secure, but it's hard because I'm with somebody who is very secure and doesn't have really any traumas from their childhood. And, I still struggle with the anxiety and I still have the same patterns.
Yes.
And so I'm like, oh, this is something I have to like really look at because it's not who I'm with. Like,
no, it's well, not that's the whole thing about this is that it's like, you have your style and then you can do things to like work on it and try to, they have a thing called earned attachment where you like learn about how to attach. And sometimes it's like looking at people, you know, who do have secure attachments and sort of using them as an example. Like there's a, like an assignment in here that's got 7 steps where you go through, think about past relationships and specific triggers. And then you go like, okay, well, how would this person have handled that? Or like, what would be the secure answer? And then sort of almost like forcing yourself to try to like, let me try to not assume that because he's 5 minutes late, he was screwing a secretary. Right. This person doesn't have a secretary.
And it's like, yeah,
he works in Ralph's. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. Or even like, not even that. Like when, like that guy, when I was dating that guy and he would be like 15 minutes late, I was like, oh, you're 15 minutes late. You don't care about me.
Yeah. Which is, you like, hate crazy. Me. Yeah.
You hate me because you couldn't be here on time, which is insane. Like, yeah. That's so crazy.
No, I do stuff like that too. And now, but now I'm at the point where the thing I'm worried about, which like, not to be like daunting because I don't have an answer for it, but I'm literally working on in therapy, is that I don't know at this point, which is also why I'm like, I need to not date and really like work on this separately on my own. But I have the, like, when I like go cold and anxious in a relationship or whatever, where all of a sudden I have this insecurity, I have never been in a relationship long enough to know if I can shake that feeling.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So that's sort of like, but granted, the majority of relationships I've been in, it ended after that feeling, but a lot of it was me going like, I got to get out of here. I was like, well, I can't, I don't think I love you anymore. I have to go.
Wow.
And then, or the person breaks up for whatever reason, one reason or another. Yeah. And it's like,
how long was your longest relationship? Was it,
I mean, it wasn't with him, but this is why I'm like, oh, I got to work on something. Cause almost all of my relationships have been like almost exactly 10 months.
Really?
Almost to the T.
Weird.
Interesting.
Yeah, so interesting.
No, you know what the interesting thing about Danny was? Let me just know. We fucking name a name.
Sorry. Yeah. We won't say the other one. We won't say Danny. Danny's
he's
a
an
great,
angel.
Danny Drellis, look him up. Very funny comic.
So funny.
Yeah, he's great.
Just sweetest. The sweetest.
Cool
sweetest
guy. Dude.
We were not officially together. We were like an unofficial thing for like a year. It was the healthiest entrance into a relationship I ever had. And then once we officially got together, it was like, yeah, about 10 months.
Wow.
Interesting. But the interesting thing about that relationship is that is the one relationship I can pinpoint. Cause even in the one where we dated the same guy, I don't know if I said this to you when we talked before, but like, if he didn't end it, even though I was like sad, and I was like, it was coming. Like I could feel it. And he could probably sense what I was feeling on top of everything else. Mm-hmm. But like Danny's the one relationship where it was just like a fundamental, what we wanted out of a relationship and a lifestyle. It just wasn't a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was no, I don't want to be with you. I don't want to be with you. That's the one relationship where I was still happy. I think he was happy, but he was like, that was the year I started going on the road like so much, which is what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he's like, look, I went to Asia and then I was like, there's this guy from Comedy Central Asia and he wants to put me in touch with these people so I can do a whole Asian tour. And it's just really exciting. He's like, oh, you're going on the road more touring? And I had like a 2-month summer chunk coming up. And he's like, if I'm gonna be with someone, and this is totally fair, but also later I was like, with someone? Like, because he was like, if I'm gonna be with someone, I would like for them to be around a decent amount of time, which is totally fair.
Right.
And then I was like, all right, well, it's not going to work. And he's like, yeah, if you're going to be gone all the time. And I'm like, yes, so it's not going to work.
Mm.
And then like months later when I was, you know, you randomly ruminate on exes.
Right.
We were like, whatever happened there? And I was like, why don't you just say you miss me, you fucking idiot? I'm going to be with someone. But it wouldn't have, I don't think it would have changed. But that was a very
I
guess that's hopeful that it was like, oh, that wasn't a thing where I shut down and I was like, I got to get out of here.
Right.
That was
just like
different
what I want, what you want is different. And I'm sure there's some sort of psychological like depth to why I want to stay on the road. And I'm sure it's some sort of inadvertent like building a wall or whatever,
or maybe you just focus on your career.
It can be both.
It's
inconvenient to fall in love and not be as ambitious.
It's so hard. I don't know. I'll go through like just rain cloud moments of when I'm like single or just out of like a breakup. So I'm a week out of, it's not even a breakup, but it was ending things with a guy who was really nice and whatever. But where I was just like, maybe I just don't get to have it all. You know what I be like, okay, relax.
Yeah.
It's like, you're just young. The holidays. And yeah. I guess it's like, I don't even have that much in my career. Like, I have all I want and I'm satisfied. And I'm like sitting on top of a fucking hill in a mansion. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I can't have it all.
Me and my cab sav, you know, just and my tears.
Yes. Like, the cost of this. Being great.
Yeah. It's like, all right, relax, mediocre.
Well, there's that like romantic, like, oh, they'll never make a documentary about me if I'm happy. Like,
yeah, I know. The thing that comedians do, we're like, I guess I'm supposed to be. No.
Yeah.
No,
which is so dumb.
Don't have to be miserable.
Buying into that.
You can
story,
figure it out. You can
we
have
were just
it
talking
all.
About that on the Patreon where I was like, how am I going to have kids? It'll ruin my career. And they're just
you
like, Taylor, have a kid.
You need to have kids.
Yeah. Right.
The way's like, I don't even know you that well. And just,
yeah.
Dude, just so the amount of
she's got two candles on the table right now.
No, because it's like, I genuinely listen to your podcast. Like, I'm playing it cool and we're all comics, but I was like, oh my God, I'm going to like be on my favorite podcast. I swear to God,
you're
I really
sweet.
Love your
That's
podcast.
So nice. Thank you.
And I've just heard you on episodes and I'm like, yeah, no, that is the kind of person that should have, because I don't have that.
Yeah, not
I'm
everybody
right there
has
with you.
That.
I'm like on the
and
fence.
Like people who are like me shouldn't have kids. Like I shouldn't be like, eh. Yeah. I think if you're on the fence about it, don't do it.
Yeah.
Kids are a thing to be on the fence about.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, oh, dude, I agree. If it's an I don't know, then let's keep it at a no for now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until
it's a
unless fuck you're yes. ready to dive in and like, I want to be a mom. And I just feel like you have that. And I'm like,
yeah.
God, that's great. And I also for a long time, because I lack that, so I so deeply lack that nurturing gene, I really thought that like it was a myth that women even have that.
Really?
You're not the only, but I've talked to a few people who just like deeply yearn for motherhood, and I'm like, I thought people were just like lying and it was a social conditioning thing.
Interesting.
But then I have had every once in a while I've like looked at a baby and been like, and I'm like, no, it's my ovaries down. Like it's my
down
body.
Like, no, what's happening?
100%. Yeah, I say that on stage where I'm just like, it's not me that wants the baby right now. Like my brain is like, we have goals, but my body's like, I'm empty, like all the time. Like it's so frustrating because it does feel like a force like stronger than yourself. But I'm just you just want to be ready, and I want to read enough books and like have my
the
shit
thing is, it's like you can be financially ready. I am definitely just quoting something some other mom said to me, and maybe she was just a crazy person, but like I don't think you're ever 100% emotionally ready for
no
a baby.
That's
a,
like that's what nothing says, no one's ducks are ever perfectly in a row. It's just
ever.
It's not possible. Like it's that's how life is. Nothing you get, you're never like, oh yeah, 100% we were ready for this moment. Like
even career
always,
stuff, you're like,
stuff.
Should I be getting this?
Exactly. Yeah. But you fucking rise to
so
the occasion.
So just bring another life into it.
I always
make another comedian. It'll be fine.
I always had this idea in my head where I'm like, well, when I'm like 35, that's when I'll do it. And now I'm just like on Instagram, just like, but look at this one. And Kyle's
she
like,
follows,
you're gonna
follow
make
babies.
It.
She follows babies on Instagram,
like individual baby accounts, not just like babies of Instagram. She's gotten down to names.
You, but like, I follow several possums, and that could be like a similar thing. Like, maybe this is just what I think my
you're
children
my
will look
speed.
Like.
That's like my
It was her first.
Stop
ring.
It! Oh my
God!
That
I know. I'm
like,
this
bald
that's,
head. I'm afraid.
Like, whoa! Whose baby is that?
That's the one we saw before that creeped us out.
Don't name it. I don't like it.
Okay, yeah. Let's not talk about it because I don't want them to feel bad. But
it's a too big. Okay,
so cute. We're like over an hour right now.
So
we should.
I'm sorry.
Kind of start wrapping up. So you guys, you got anxious attachment?
I got anxious attachment.
You have disorganized.
I'm disorganized, which is anxious avoidant.
Okay, yes. And then both Delaney and I got secure.
Yeah. Well,
I guess I'll
see myself out.
Yeah, well, I'm
uncomfortable. But you know what's interesting? You guys were talking about for me, Taylor, I feel like you have extremely high standards because of your anxious attachment or something, which is not a bad thing.
No,
right?
But, I feel like I go the opposite.
Which is, so that this is super interesting.
You're going in the clearance bin.
Because I'm like,
yeah, it's literally a joke I make about, because I'm from a sperm bank and I like make a joke about like that my mom must have gone to the clearance bin. Like,
are you serious?
Yeah, that guy that abandoned me wasn't even my father. It's a whole thing. I found out years later, like he couldn't have kids.
Oh, wow.
Oh my gosh.
No, so yeah, but I go like, I have such deep self-worth issues where like I'm still getting over this guy's nice to me. I guess I should just be with him. And it's like that guy is living in a trash can. What are you?
It's so hard to overcome that stuff. Yeah. I mean, like I have that thing. I have the avoidant thing at the beginning of relationships because I know But I had that for a while where I was like, oh, if somebody pays attention to me, maybe I should just give them a chance. But like after I went through that last breakup and I started dating Kyle, I mean, I tried to break up with Kyle like 3 times and he's great. And like first 2 months, I was just like, this is going to work. I'm gone all the time. Like,
and he's like, that's fine.
No. He was just like, okay, well, I was like, we can just be friends. He's like, I don't want to just be friends, but I mean, it's up to you, I guess. But
he's like, I'm not going to force you to be with
him. Like, I'm not going to force you to do. He's, you know, very healthy, but it was just that weird thing of, you kind of push it away because you know once you get into it, you're going to be anxious and crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like, oh, then those feelings come, and am I even going to enjoy it, or am I just going to be consumed by that?
Right, and I was so broken up over this last. Yeah. Like, I mean, again, like, I dated that person 3 times over, like,
there's
4.5 years.
There's a huge history there.
Yeah, like, since I was a kid, it was, like, a very important person to me, like, you know, for all of, like, the shit that happened between us, like, very, like, good for me in some very important ways that will never change. And it was really tough to, like, transition out of that. And so going into this with Kyle, I was just like, you better be the guy, because like, I'm not going to...
I don't want to do this.
I'm not going to date anymore.
Good for you. Yeah. Like, I'm so... like mixed up with all my like attachment issues that it took me until like just this past week analyzing my breakup to because I've always been like, it's weird because I've been in relationships, but I've always entered them from a state of like, I'm not even really like looking for a relationship. I'm just kind of living. Yeah. And if it happens, it happens. Yeah. And then like a couple days ago, I was like, oh my God, I've been too afraid to admit that I want to be in love. Aww. Like that's a thing that I was because it was my brain's like, it's probably not going to happen for you. So just don't like that is the cycle, you know? And I'm like, oh no, it's okay to want a relationship. I thought that was some sort of weakness.
No. Wow. Yeah. It's fucking, it's a human need.
Yeah. It's love. So normal. It's a need, and I was like, wow, what a thing that I didn't even realize I was being crazy about.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
My just the, oh, go ahead. Oh, no. Go ahead.
Go
no,
Taylor.
You go first.
Tell us about your secure relationship.
Well, no, I was going to say, I was going to say this. Sometimes I feel like I'm, this sounds shitty, too secure in the fact that what anybody does doesn't really affect me.
Yeah.
Like where I'm like, look, you could do whatever the fuck you want. Be good to me or don't. I'm just going to keep doing my thing, whether you do it or not. But I feel like, and this is not about Cam in general, I think this is just about me in general, is like, maybe my standards haven't always been so high because of that. Because I'm like, I don't give a shit if
I'm
this guy
go with the flow.
Like if this guy shows up in 30 minutes or 45 minutes, this doesn't whatever. Like I'm just gonna be doing all this stuff over here, doing my own thing. Wow. To where sometimes I think like, oh no, I need to actually.
You sound like somebody who meditates.
I'm
like,
starting.
That's but, really, you're just like a very like dope chill person.
Oh, she's just you're like nothing, who that's like what I aspire to be, and I'm like, oh God.
Nothing like riles her up.
But
much.
No, I think that could also be a negative thing to where you're not
investing enough because you're
maybe,
so chill.
Maybe where you're also like, look, I'm so independent that I don't fucking need
you. Might
need
be avoidant.
You know what I mean?
But you've told me things about when you started. Like,
we're recruiting.
But you've told me things about like when you started dating Cam and you're like, you gotta walk me to my car. Like, I feel like that's, you know.
Yeah.
You just don't get overly like, you don't take it as a personal like, well, I guess you hate me because you didn't walk me to my car. You're just like, hey,
yeah, guys, probably don't think about that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just something that I'm like, well, maybe that's also been an issue.
And
like
you
if
ask
you're
for what you
secure,
want, I think. Do you feel like you asked for? I think you asked for what you want.
Yeah. No, I'm very clear.
Communication
and like,
that's clear is amazing to me because I'll just like, never mind. I'm fine with whatever's happening now. Like instead of just be like, why don't you just say what you wanted? I'm like, no, I'll just eat this Thai food that I hate.
I have a severe peanut allergy. I'll just die. It's fine.
Actually, I was talking to my therapist recently and I was saying like, what if my self-worth is low and the fact that I like have maybe chosen somebody who doesn't eventually like want to marry me and all this stuff. And I'm like, is that basically me saying that I don't think I'm worth dating somebody? Somebody who wants to marry me, right? And she was like, well, let's take a look at your relationship, Delaney. Is he good to you in this way? Is he good to you in this way? This, and then list a bunch of things. And I said yes to everything. So like, okay, that's not somebody who has a low self-worth. If this person is this, and this for you, then this marriage thing is probably just a matter of a conversation or figuring things out just on
like
that topic.
If you wanted that.
Right. So I'm like, okay. But no, part of me like was thinking, oh, fuck, is this some, because like I got daddy issues. I mean, who doesn't,
right?
So I'm like, oh God, is that because of of this, and you know, I kind of spiral into my overanalyzing of everything. But she's like, no, dude, you got a great relationship. It's just this weird. It's just this thing that you got to talk about, and you'll figure it out.
Yeah. So interesting.
It's helpful to hear that you also have issues.
Oh yeah.
Thank God. Totally.
You really are like the gold standard for just like, you're so empathetic. Like you can't even like complain to her because she's like, well, but just think about it from their perspective. And I'm like, no,
I don't care about their perspective.
All right, you guys, we gotta wrap up. Unfortunately,
you are just the perfect guest.
We could have talked to you for so much longer.
Thanks, Jessica. Yeah. This was really good shit.
Plug anything you want to plug.
Check out my podcast. It's called Ignorance is Blessed, and you can find me all over the internet at JMS Comedy.
Amazing. Beautiful. Go give us that 5-star rating and review on iTunes if you haven't yet. We're at like 915 right now. We really want 1,000 by the end of the year. Come I don't know if it will happen, but
let's just, do it.
If you've got your family gathered around in the holidays, just have everybody log on to their Apple ID and give us a 5-star.
If you guys give 1,000 reviews to them, I'll toilet paper me and Taylor's ex boyfriend.
Oh, that is the best prize we could possibly offer.
He has a house. Let's be real.
No, you decorate it.
They just use the toilet
More
paper.
Curtains.
Oh my God, more curtains. That's very funny.
Oh, dude,
thank
is,
you for being on,
great.
Jessica. Thanks All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, we love you guys so much. To continue to support Self Helpless Podcast, go to selfhelplesspodcast.com for anything and everything you could want. We have our links to Patreon, merch, our individual websites, our Facebook group, Amazon link, full episodes, also our contact for our P.O. box and email. And you can follow Self Helpless Podcast on Instagram, as well as us individually. I am at T-Tom Comedy or Taylor Tomlinson, depending on if you're on Instagram or Twitter, ttomcomedy.com.
And I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, and kelseycook.com for tour dates.
And I'm at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and at Dicks by Delaney for some good old-fashioned dick stuff on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest. Perfect. And you can also follow Self Helpless on Facebook.
Great.
Thanks, guys.
Yay, we love you.
Why won't it let me be looking inside?